Welcome in to an off-season episode of The Beaker here on Duckstream, where we're joined by the Anaheim Ducks general manager, Pat Verbeek. I'm your host, Alexis Downey, and Pat joins us now. Pat, it's been a busy off-season for you so far. How are things going?
Well, it seems like it's flying, so it won't be long here, and we'll be in September. So I think once we hit the combine in Buffalo, it was start of June, and then we actually had our pro scouting meetings before that. And then this has been ripping right through here. We're going to rip through June really quick with the draft coming up, and then free agency, and then hopefully it'll slow down just a little bit. But it's flying by right now.
And you're able to enjoy some time in Michigan, it looks like.
I am. I've been here since May. It just makes a little more sense, like with the combine, and I can actually catch some playoff games. I was able to watch Beckett Senecky play in the playoffs, and so there's a lot of hockey around here when near the end of our season. So I was able to get out and see a few playoff games, and then just have our pro scouting meetings and run the Buffalo. So it's just easier travel wise.
There really is a lot of different things going on with the team and obviously with the draft coming up. So we're going to get into all of that now. But I want to start first by looking back to this past season, a 21-point increase for the group. Have you had some time to reflect back on the growth that you saw out of the team through the end of the season?
Yeah, I think overall it was a nice improvement on our season. I think that guys understood the accountability, the work ethic, the demand to small details to be able to win hockey games. And I think when we did a lot of things well, we won. And it seemed like every time we scored more than three goals, we won. So it certainly was good in a lot of aspects. I think if I'm to critique the season, there's probably obviously three things. I think our special teams, the power play and the penalty kill, need vast improvement. And I think if we do that, that's going to be, for me, it probably cost us five or six wins. And I think that really puts us in the hunt, for the playoffs for next season. And I think the one thing that was the most disappointing out of the whole season was, and that goes to say, how teams have to learn to win big games. And I think when we lost three games, we lost three games to St. Louis, and none of those games were even close. And they just seemed like they were more determined, the more hungrier team, to win. And then losing two to Calgary, losing two to Vancouver. And those are the teams that we're in the fight with, along the whole way. And I would say that was disappointing, but ultimately it can turn out to be a positive for those guys understanding that we have to become more desperate to win than the other team.
And one of the things that we did talk about after the trade deadline was the fact that Pavel Minkov and Olin Zellweger weren't going to have to switch off in the lineup. They were going to be able to get those reps following the deadline. As far as the young guys and their growth last season, what did you see out of them? And what are you kind of hoping to see as we move into the summer now? And you've had some of those conversations before the guys left town about what you're hoping to see out of them when they return.
Well, I think that, you can look at Leo. I think Leo, getting the 20 goals was a big thing, in the sense that now he understands Leo likes to pass the puck more than he should. And he always defers. And I think him understanding and having the confidence to shoot the puck grew as the season went on, and he started to see the puck go in the net more. And I think that that was good. That was really huge for his mental aspect of his game. And I think Cutter, same thing, getting 20 goals was really good. I think his second half of the season coming off the break was very, very good. I think Drew Helleson was a nice surprise for us playing, getting called up and be able to be almost a regular in the lineup as a 5-6 guy in our lineup. So, and getting more responsibility to kill penalties. I think Pavel kind of had a little bit of a rough season compared to the season before, in the sense that he was playing catch up the whole time. He had a knee injury and missed the first week of training camp. And it was kind of, I kind of liken it to when you miss that first week of training camp, when all the hard reps are coming at you, you're playing catch up. It was no different than when Trevor Zegras and Jamie Drysdale got hurt in, or missed the first week of that training camp, and they were playing catch up and they end up getting injured. So it's a, you know, I think Pavel coming in real healthy will be great. Jackson Lacombe took a huge, huge step forward in his growth. We're super excited about him. And even we mentioned Trevor Zegras. Trevor made great strides in working harder, competing, hanging on the pucks, in the cycle game. And so there's a lot of things when you look at, mentioned Mason Matavis, but he had a real nice season and finished well for us. So there's just a lot of optimism. And I believe, our up guys our young guys are starting to understand, what it takes and how, what it's like to prepare for a long 82 season. And the fact now that winning is an expectation now, and it's going to get harder. And as I spoke with all these guys, and as a group leaving, I told them that they weren't going to sneak up on anybody anymore, and they needed to be prepared for harder games. They're going to get the best. They're going to start seeing number one goaltenders all the time now, and so it's going to be a different mindset, and of being prepared for hard games. And so I wanted them to understand what that was like, because I just reverted back to the year that I played for the New Jersey Devils, and we ended up going to the semifinals, and the next year we didn't make the playoffs, and we weren't ready for how teams were going to play us the next year. And that was a huge learning curve, and I don't want these guys to have to go through that. I want them to understand right away that they better be prepared to play hard.
One of the things that you've shared with myself beforehand was that you're looking to also see them getting stronger. How much of an emphasis was that to the whole group before the summer?
Well, I mean, I meet with every single guy, right? So I think they start to chuckle about it because they know it's coming. And even our older vets, I told them, from my experience, I was at my strongest when I was 38, when I retired. So I kept looking to get stronger every year. And so that's the mindset. We have to keep pushing. I have to keep pushing harder. And so obviously the young guys have a little bit of ways to go to get their man strength, and the older guys can still kind of keep building on the foundation that they've built over the last 10 years. So you can never stop looking to improve, and they know it's coming. So it's kind of funny.
One of the big changes this offseason is a new head coach. Joel Quenneville was named the new leader back in May. Pat, for you, how important was that to get done early in the offseason to kind of get you ready for the rest of the summer?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. I think it creates a lot of excitement. I know Joel's really excited, to get started. He's obviously missed, I think, 4 years now. He's been out of coaching. So it's, he's super excited and motivated. And when I speak with our players, they're excited. They understand the track record that he has of winning, and knowing what he's going to bring to the groups is very exciting for him. And I think, what Joel brings to the group is instant respect and credibility when it comes to winning. So there's, from my perspective, there's going to be instant buy-in. And I believe the players are excited about that.
Another big key for this offseason was looking at what kind of moves you could potentially make. And one of those moves did happen last week. Chris Kreider joining the team as a part of a trade with the New York Rangers. Pat, why Chris Kreider? What about him was the right fit for him in this group?
Well, I've been watching Chris for a long time, but I think looking what I believe our group needed was a guy that was a really good net front presence guy for our power play. Certainly, he's arguably could be one of the best in the league at it. Deflections, how he establishes position in front of the net, has good hands, good, has the ability to deflect pucks from anywhere. And so I think there's been a couple reasons. I think that for him being able to, you know, be on our power play to be able to get goals from that aspect is huge. I think he's a big man. He skates well. He's 235 pounds, so he's just a phenomenal athlete. And I think the other thing that he does really well is penalty kills. Like, he's a constant threat with his speed to kill penalties. So when you get an advantage when you can kind of put power plays on their heels a little bit, when they have to understand that they have to watch out for the speed, that Kreider will provide. And I think he's going to mesh very well with Leo killing penalties and with Cutter Gauthier killing penalties. So now our group is starting to look, you know, fast and threatening on the PK if you turn the puck over. So it's those two areas of, you know, our special teams, Chris can fit into very well.
As a part of that trade, Carey Torrance sent to the Rangers with that, but you were able to sign Lucas Pettersson to an entry-level contract just recently. Does that kind of soften things when you look at the prospect pool, knowing that you also still have, you know, another center like that sending Carey away?
Yeah, I think, well, ultimately we have a lot of draft picks. We've accumulated a lot of draft picks. So at certain times, you know, it's going to be hard to find ice time for all of them, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's no different than, you know, I was able to trade for Cutter with Jamie Drysdale because we've got a lot of right-hand defensemen coming. So it's no different in this scenario. At this point, we're looking to get better. We're looking to improve. We're looking to make the playoffs. And, there's just certain things that you sometimes have to give up to get a player such as Chris Kreider.
We're going down the checklist of all the things that are happening this summer. One of those things is there are some RFAs that haven't been signed yet. Where are some of those conversations with Mason McTavish and Lucas Dostal?
Well, we've had some preliminary with Mason McTavish. Same with Lucas Dostal. I think that, these things, sometimes they can move slow at certain parts of the off season. And then all of a sudden, there becomes a little more urgency, as the time gets closer to the season. So, we're kind of with Lucas, we're probably a little further down the road than we are with Mason. So we'll see where it goes. I think that, obviously, they're two outstanding players for us, and we'll get them signed shortly. So, it's just a process that we go through, and not really worried about it.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So, in your mind, you don't necessarily have a timeline of when these things need to be done.
Well, yeah, before training camp, That's when I like to get them done. So, yeah, no, they will. But hopefully, we'll get them done before then.
Yeah. Free agency is coming up once we get to July after the draft. You know, you've talked in the past about wanting to add that top six forward. You get a guy like Chris Kreider. Where does that leave you now with kind of what you're looking at when you look at this pool of free agents?
Well, I think I'm looking still for another top six forward, possibly. And that could come through a trade or a free agency. So I'm exploring both of those avenues, and we'll see. Time will tell. A lot can happen here in the next 2.5 weeks. And it might take, you know, it might take a little longer after July 1. I don't think it might not happen right away. It might happen July 3rd, July 4th when the dust settles. So we'll see. We're exploring a lot of interesting avenues, and we'll see where it goes.
Last summer, you shared taking your shot at a lot of the big names. Is this summer any different, or does it feel different with where the team's at?
Well, I think getting Chris Kreider certainly, filled a need for us. Now, can we look to push, get a deeper lineup? Absolutely. So does it feel different? I would say, yes, it does, in the sense that now I've gotten a little bit of business done before the free agency. And now it can really, we can really not take your time, but we can really go through a real process of analyzing and making a real good decision on, you know, the next player, whether it's a trade or it's a, you know, a free agent that we bring into the group.
This year's NHL draft coming up just next week, and the Ducks have the 10th overall pick. What are you looking for in that pick?
Well, certainly there's a bunch of this year's draft is probably centered around more centers, you know, in the top 15, there's probably more centers than there's ever been in a draft. Couple wingers and you know, and probably three or four defensemen. So it's what we're centered around is we've made our list, and who's ever there gets checked off, and we'll probably go by our list. So who's ever ranked next on our list, that's what's going to happen. So I can't predict what's going to happen. So you know, you can probably figure out the top three, top four players. And then after that, I'm not sure like who and who's going to go. So it's kind of open.
And this year is a decentralized draft. How does that change you guys's role in the way that you go about the draft now? What does that look like?
Well, I think it's going to be completely different. I'm actually going to miss it. Like the last draft in Vegas last year, I just thought was spectacular, in the sense of, you know, the venue, you know, meeting, you know, being able to have discussions face to face with other general managers. And I think, you know, there's a lot of hockey people, you know, people that I played with, people that I've worked with that you just don't see very often. And it's the one time of the year where you can actually see them and catch up and reminisce and, you know, talk about, you know, the old days, which is a lot of fun. And I think from a player's perspective, it's certainly going to be a lot different too, because they don't, you know, we're lucky, LA and Anaheim, we, you know, we can actually have the kids that we draft come down and meet the group and meet the coaches and all that stuff. So and everybody in the organization. So we're lucky from that aspect. So, but that's going to be completely different for other organizations. And so it's going to be a different scenario in how we communicate too. And I talk to other general managers. So it's, won't be so much face to face. It's going to be more, telephone and even with the agents for that matter. So it's going to be a lot different.
Pat, one last one for you. What flavor monster are you going to have on draft day?
the usual, the silver or white can is what I always drink. So anyway, yeah, that's what I will have.
We'll be looking forward to that coming up here next week. Thank you for taking the time to join us here on Duck Stream, Pat. It's been great to catch up on all the things happening with the Anaheim Ducks this offseason and looking forward to what's ahead.
Well, we're excited. So we got some more work to do. And then ultimately it'll be on the players to put all the work, show what they've done over the course of the summer to get ready for next season. So we're excited.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on Duck Stream.